Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome to the Newsbusters podcast on a Monday after a 23-hour Sunday. I mean, it's just mildly disoriented. We're here on Monday because the powers that be have said, let's multiply this puppy. Let's try to do podcasts 3 days a week. So we're going to try to do that for you, keeping you up to date with all the latest media bias and outrages. Which, Monday's always a good day to go back and say, what on earth was that Reliable Sources sermon by Stelter yesterday? For a news channel, they always seem to start with Stelter giving some bizarro lecture. And yesterday's was pretty bizarre. Stelter was trying to suggest that Tucker Carlson is the new Donald Trump, which horrifies him. It seems to me what it sounds like to me and probably to a lot of us is the idea of, with Trump not in the spotlight every day, we need a new enemy. We need a new person that's the scare goblin. But to me, it's a very strange thing for him to suggest somehow that Tucker Carlson's the new Trump, because it sort of diminishes the presidency, that the presidency was somehow just a talk show. Tucker Carlson doesn't have nukes. Tucker Carlson is not running the Pentagon. What's weird is that the so-called Biden-organized Pentagon is going after Tucker Carlson. That is some weird stuff. It's like the old Dana Carvey Carcino thing. It's wild, weird stuff. But somehow Tucker Carlson's become the center of the universe for Brian Stelter because he needs that. He needs a villain. He can't have the show come on and say, well, this week we're going to discuss Joe Biden not having a press conference. No, they had an opening segment on Tucker Carlson as the new Trump, and then they had a panel discussion on whether or not Tucker is the new Trump. The dumbest part of that segment was April Ryan trying to somehow suggest that Tucker Carlson's going to cause violence, because this is what liberals say. Anytime you say nasty things about liberals, somebody's going to get hurt. And they're going to use the horrible January 6th riot and try to say Tucker caused it and you should just cancel the show. This is what's bizarre to me, is that Stelter and his group are so obsessed with Fox and have been so explicit about how it needs to have its footprint reduced. Stelter said it was for harm reduction. But what they're doing is they're actually promoting Fox. Because the more Twitter is all about you saying Tucker Carlson's a terrible, terrible human being and no one should watch him, it means the conservatives say, well, I guess I know what's appointment viewing tonight. It's just the weirdest thing. I mean, it's become a thing on Twitter where people make fun of them for watching Fox instead of watching CNN. So I think that there's this whole problem with them. They have a problem with dissent, to be blunt. They have a problem with disagreement. They have a problem. They use the words, well, he's a symptom of our political dysfunction. And what they mean is, functioning democracy means we win, we get all the time, we all talk to ourselves, and you don't get to say anything. Fox News just needs to be reduced. We don't need people like Fox News changing the subject with their distractions. That's the sound of all of this. I mean, but it got worse in this particular episode of so-called Reliable Sources, because then they turned to David Zurawiec of the Baltimore Sun, and he somehow dragged this into Fox News shouldn't be allowed in the White House briefing, or Fox News shouldn't be allowed to go on trips with the president. Zurawiec, who used to be a sensible guy, basically was comparing Fox News to the Proud Boys. I mean, the Proud Boys, to me, are a bunch of thugs who like going out in the street and punching people and who have sort of a stench of racism around them. For you to compare Peter Doocy in the briefing room to the Proud Boys makes about as much sense as suggesting you Michelle Cinder of PBS is basically Antifa. Fox News is not the Proud Boys. PBS is not Antifa. They might be pretty sensitive to Antifa. They might sound pro-Antifa. That's what they're basically trying to say here is, well, Fox News is probably the network the Proud Boys like. But just the aggression here with Stelter and Zurawick with basically saying Fox News needs to be canceled. Fox News needs to be reduced. Fox News needs to be removed from the press corps, that they shouldn't be allowed to have a seat at the White House. They don't know what that sounds like. It just sounds like we can't handle the First Amendment. The First Amendment is just overly broad. And they don't like the idea. They have this problem that democracy equals liberalism, and they have this problem that journalism equals liberalism. And anybody who disagrees with the Democrats is endangering democracy. And anybody who goes into the briefing room and asks a question that conservatives might want asked must not be a journalist. We're not running around suggesting that CNN should be canceled. I mean, obviously, in our case, in conservatives' case, you can't cancel one channel and say, problem solved. No more liberalism on TV. We can't say, let's cancel ABC and CBS and NBC and PBS and NPR and CNN. Nobody can do that. But they see this as, there's Fox News. We don't worry so much about Newsmax and OAN unless we can, you know, unless they start to gain ground, then we hate them too. Fox News to them is a symptom or a symbol. They're saying, well, talk radio is in flux since Rush Limbaugh died. We've got some hope there. Now we have some hope. Stelter last week was all like, well, we have some hope that when Rupert Murdoch dies, maybe we'll get some sense out of Fox News. And then Stelter had the gall to say happy birthday, Rupert, on Twitter. Happy birthday, Rupert. Hope you kick soon. CNN. What are you going to do with CNN? So over the weekend, yesterday morning on Weekend Edition Sunday, Don Lemon is selling his new book on racism. I don't think you need to buy it to know what it's about. It's about you're racist. And he did an interview with Lulu Garcia Navarro, who used to be known as Lourdes Garcia Navarro, and then he somehow decided it was not fancy or fun enough, so she became Lulu. And Lulu Garcia Navarro is just reading passages from Lemon's book. And one of them, which was, you know, basically you say, white people should stop denying they're racist. And what's really funny is Lemon in the same interview actually suggests, this book is about unity and not division. Isn't this just the way that liberals talk? It's just, they don't understand the insanity of what comes out of their mouths. I'm for unity and not division. So shut up and let me tell you, you're racist.
People get so upset by the idea of the possibility that someone may think that they are racist or biased or bigoted in any way. What's the most important thing? Is it the racism, the bigotry, or the bias that's most important? Or is it the perception or the feeling that someone may think of you that way? Is it about your fragility, your ego, or is it about the actual thing that is?
And this is National Public Radio. This is what we pay our tax dollars for, so we can multiply the nuttiness of Don Lemon. We don't get enough of it on CNN. Please put it on our radio as well. The idea that they think that because the system is racist, and whites benefit from the system, therefore, you're all racist. is it has all the sense of saying, well, under capitalism at this late stage, we live in a rape culture, and therefore all men are rapists. That's about the logic we're dealing with Don Lemon. All whites are racist, and if you really want to gain any ground with us, the people who decide what's racist and what's not racist, you're going to admit you're racist. And this is where you kind of say, well, when you say all people of a certain color are all one way, what does that sound like to you? So if all white people are naturally racist because they're white, do you hear the sound of that at all? Are you getting the sound of your own illogic? I would like to joke with our old colleague, Ken Shepard. We used to make fun of him because he was a Calvinist. He even had the John Calvin bobblehead. This is sort of like the racial Calvinism. You're predestined to be racist. Just accept it and confess. Be repentant for your racism. I don't like, on some level, the whole discussion about race right now. It has this whole feeling of the movie War Games that the only way to win is not to play. I don't like racism. I don't like the idea that you would reduce somebody to their skin color and say all people with a certain pigmentation are X. That's exactly what Don Lemon is saying. And the lady at NPR just goes, yes, tell the world they're all racist. So we can say, this hour of NPR is brought to you by a lot of racists who were, you know, who had to give up their tax dollars involuntarily so they could all be denounced. And they call this democracy. One last thought, and that is the Washington Post magazine has a humorist named Gene Weingarten. This is kind of related to the Calvinism thing. And that is that he now says we are lick-spittle Trump supporters. We are the ignoranti. And we had to make fun of him back and say, you know, this guy cannot criticize Joe Biden. He's a humorist, but he can't find anything funny about Joe Biden. And that's just hilarious. Everybody knows that Joe Biden is comedy bait. You can vote for him and still realize there's stuff he does that's funny. Like not being able to remember who he named defense secretary. Which maybe, Don Lemon, we could imply is when you forget the name of your black defense secretary, you might be a racist. So Gene Weingarten has a column yesterday in the Washington Post magazine. And he didn't write it yesterday. I think that the magazine publishes 2 or 3 weeks in advance. So he's not right on the cutting edge. But still, at this late date, he did a whole quote-unquote humor column on how which level of hell Donald Trump will land in when he dies. So it's a discussion between Satan and all his lower minions about which circle of hell Donald Trump belongs in. Now, the punchline in all of this is that Gene Weingarten is an atheist. Gene Weingarten doesn't believe in God. He thinks those of us who believe in God are meatheads. It's the word he used to apply to me. He would say, "You're my favorite meathead." So, do atheists get to write columns about what hell is like? I mean, obviously, what Gene is doing here is he's saying, all you crazy Christians who voted for Trump, I'm just going to troll you because I think I'm funny. Now, we can obviously say that there's a lot about Donald Trump's personal behavior that is not living up to the Christian principles of humility and forgiveness and keeping one wife. But generally, it's funny to me the way that liberals, who always say that one of their turnoffs is that people are judgmental, would be so quick to decide who belongs in hell. Because if you're truly a religious person and you believe in prayer at a time like this, that your prayer is, you know, bring all souls to heaven, especially those most in need of your mercy, you don't wish people go to hell. That's not a Christian thing. Well, Gene Weingarten's not a Christian. But we have to ask ourselves the question, one, whether we are living up to our own creeds and obligations, but also, liberals say that they're the people that are all about compassion and understanding. They're against hate speech. Yeah, they dole out an awful lot of hate speech. They dole out an awful lot of insults. They're really not living up to their own standard of being the more open-minded, compassionate, gentle people. And that is one of the things we do at Newsbusters, is to bring you these examples so that you can say to your friends, guess what? Liberals are pretty good at being jerks. So we're going to be able to bring you those examples. They do come up pretty often. So do make sure you come back. So do come back to Newsbusters once, twice, 24 times a day, and put your ears on this podcast. Thank you for listening.